when I see a graph like the labor statistics that you were sharing, and I see a slope starting to emerge, and I totally understand your analysis and really appreciate it. Any thoughts around what factors contributed to the change? What was different in 2014 than in 2013?
I think that's a great question. I'm going to use a verbal. I think things were getting stronger, so that's not very helpful. So let me try to dig a little deeper into that. I think a challenge throughout this process has been that we have not been able to make. It feels like monetary policy has been very easy. You'll often hear super easy, ultra easy, extraordinarily easy, all these terms thrown around, but. The fact that we've kept interest rates between 0 and 25 basis points for the last, since the end of 2008, is actually a sign that we have not been able to provide as much accommodation as we needed to. And essentially, the interest rates that we needed to see to achieve our outcomes were very low. Now, why was that? I think it's largely because of fear and uncertainty induced in consumers and firms by the Great Recession. So they had these experiences, these enormous job losses, these terrifying job losses in this period, after being told, that this could never happen here. That produces people want to save as opposed to spend. And that pushes down on the interest rate that we have to hit in order to achieve our goals. Now, as fear and uncertainty ebb, and even as I talk to people around my district here in the 9th District, I sense that that's happening. Still a lot of caution, but you sense that that's happening. And as it continues to unfold, then it will be appropriate for us to raise rates. That's when, as that fear and uncertainty starts to ebb from the psyche of investors, of firms and consumers, it'll be safer. We will be able to raise rates in order to achieve our objectives. But I think that that's what was happening in 2014 is that fear and uncertainty started ebb. We started stronger. Firms were more willing to hire more explicitly, and you see also that workers or potential workers were more willing to take the risk of looking for work as well. So all that I think was a very positive in 2014.
You didn't address the size of the Fed's balance sheet. What are your thoughts? Could we start to reduce the size of that before any tightening action happens?
So at this stage, let me talk a little about the balance sheet. So the balance sheet was $800 billion in September 2008. It's now over $4 trillion. So that's the increase that was being referred to. During most of 2014, actually, the Fed was adding to that balance sheet. But beginning in October, that has stopped. That addition has stopped. Well, it is happening though. As securities mature, the proceeds of those proceeds are still being reinvested in assets, and so the balance sheet is being kept constant. I don't see. So I'm going to answer your question a little bit differently. You asked the question, is there going to be a way to reduce the size of the balance sheet before we tighten? My question is always about how do we achieve our objectives, employment and inflation. We don't need to do that in order to achieve our objectives. We can raise rates, tighten credit conditions without having a small balance sheet. Now, at some point, it might be appropriate for us to reduce the size by selling, or it might become the natural size of the balance sheet, like $800 billion was in September 2008. How could that happen? Just through economic growth will make $4 trillion look like a natural number at some point. So the key point for me is simply, can we achieve our objectives with this size of balance sheet? And the answer is absolutely. We have the ability, by raising the interest rate that we pay on reserves to banks, we can increase the opportunity cost of their lending out money, and that will tighten credit conditions in the United States and allow us to constrain inflationary pressures when needed. So that's the way I think about the balance sheet issue.
I have two questions. One would be, what is the impact that the Affordable Care Act, better known as Obamacare, going to have on employment. Our business will see an $18,000 per month increase on about 250 employees this year. And the second question would be, what is the impact of the national debt, I think it's $19 trillion, going to have on future interest rates?
So these are great questions, and they're both very hard questions. So the first question about the Affordable Care Act, most of the estimates I have seen are relatively modest in terms of the aggregate impact of the Affordable Care Act on employment. They're not a material impact on the kind of outlook or forecast that I'm offering here. I have to say our understanding of the impact of the act is itself in progress, and so that might change over time. But right now, that would be my answer to that. In terms of the debt to GDP ratio, which is a little over 100% now in the United States, our ability right now there's a tremendous amount of confidence in financial markets about the ability and willingness of U.S. taxpayers to pay off that debt. How do I say that? Why does that come from? Financial markets are willing to lend the U.S. government money for 30 years at a 2.5% interest rate. That shows a tremendous amount of confidence in the willingness and ability of the U.S. taxpayer to either to have the reduction in spending associated with paying that off, or to have tax collections raised to pay that off. I think we often hear a lot of criticism of politicians for not talking about this enough or not getting on top of this. Actually, this is a longer-term issue. If you look at the debt-to-GDP ratio forecast from the Congressional Budget Office, it's really in the latter part of this decade, beginning of the next decade, that something has to be done about this. We already hear strong conversations taking place around what should be done. No decisions have been made yet, but I think there's a lot of very intense conversation about the issue, and that's good because that's what keeps financial markets willing to lend us this money at this low interest rate. As long as the steps are taken, as that I describe, of either raising taxes or reducing spending, and when I talk about spending, to be clear, what I'm talking about is the obligations that we owe to our older citizens through Medicare and Social Security. That's the main thing we're talking about there. As long as we're willing to take the steps to resolve that gap, I think that in a timely enough fashion, I don't think we're going to be facing some untoward interest rate pressures. I guess I don't have anything more to say on that.